Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Good morning, everyone. It is the 7th of September, and as we start our day together like this, I just find a helpful reminder that first and foremost, as we're doing our jobs, as we're parenting our children, as we're looking through the headlines of the day, as we're thinking about Democrats and Republicans and all of these titles and all of these ways we understand ourselves, that we are first and foremost sons and daughters of a king in a kingdom of Jesus that knows no end. And for me, I find this a helpful reminder just to remember that sense of identity. It's an anchoring point for me, and I hope for you, as we're thinking about all of what's happening in our country, what's happening in our families, what's happening in our relationships. There's always a lot going on in the world, but there is a kingdom that will persist and remain and knows no end. And that is part of what we celebrate every morning here on Faith Radio Mornings. It makes us different than a CNN or a Fox News or any other news outlet or organization. We're going to bring you the news, hopefully with some authenticity, with some complexity, with a bit of fun from a Christian perspective. And I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in studio by Logan Rausch and Paul Perreault. Laughing this morning even as we prepare for the show. It's fun to be in studio with them. They keep the news flowing for you, make sure things are running smoothly during our 2 hours together. And we do pray for you across all of our affiliate network from North and South Dakota down into Iowa, over to Hartford, just the different places in which we as believers are gathered together, including those streaming it live around the country. We really are in this whole thing together. And as we get started this morning, I would love to bring my conversation partner on Friday mornings into the program. It's Carmen LaBurge, who is the host of Connecting Faith, our midday program here on Faith Radio. And I see the text coming in into her show and see what the listeners are saying. And Carmen, you are well loved here on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. It's great to be with you this morning.
Yeah, so you and I...
You know, I send out the love, man. I send it out and it comes back.
You do. I feel my spirit uplifting, Carmen, you know, when we begin to talk in the morning like this. And it is actually fun to chat. It's part of even what's in the study that you and I were talking about before the show, that religious people are less likely to be depressed when lonely than atheists. And it talks about the idea that... out of Michigan, psychologists are suggesting that there's a void for lonely religious people. It's filled by their faith. But they also said that people do better off, regardless if they're atheist or if they're religious, when they're in community with other people. And it does speak that we're hardwired for relationships.
Absolutely. So I think that we can look at the study that's actually presented, or we can take a step back and we can bring what we know from the scriptures into the conversation, which clearly the study's not actually designed to do. So I understand that. So I think that as people of faith, this is one of the things that we need to figure out how to take the headline news of the day like this and actually bring the faith to bear, bring what we know from the scriptures about God, bring what we know from the scriptures about ourselves as human beings, created for relationship with God, and then created in relationship with one another. And so we do have Genesis 2:18. It's God who recognizes that it's not good for the man to be alone. Now, the man isn't alone at that point in time. The man is in a relationship, the only relationship that's going to last eternally, the eternal relationship that he needs, which is a relationship with God. So the relationship with God is actually the primary relationship, not a replacement relationship. That's where I think the study gets it backwards or wrong. But I think that the findings of the study, which is that even people who are not people of faith have an intrinsic need for community and relationships, is absolutely affirming what we know from the scriptures that God's already revealed to us in his word. And that's that it's not good for us to be alone.
Yeah, it's beautifully said, Carmen. And it does remind me as we wake up each morning here on Faith Radio Mornings that there really are thousands and thousands of people listening, many who may feel lonely. But there is, I see it behind the scenes here on Faith Radio. I see the people being prayed for and cared for. And you're not alone as you're listening. In fact, you can join the show if you'd like to. Call in and text Carmen, myself, at 877-933-2484. There really is a kingdom of people that are joined together through generations and generations under this beautiful kingdom of Jesus. And it's just helpful to remember that, right, Carmen, that we're not alone in this deal.
Well, absolutely. It's also important, you know, to recognize that we can be an actual friend of God or we can be an enemy of God. Like you are in a relationship with the living God. It's just a question of what kind of relationship you're in. And then, yes, he does give us to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as this eternal family of the children of God. And so that's a pretty incredible reality. And so I want to, you know, I certainly want to reach out as a person who was, you know, single until my mid 40s. I want to reach out to those people who are listening today and are like, well, you know, I'm an Adam and God hasn't given me an Eve, or I'm an Eve and God hasn't given me an Adam. Here's the reality. We are created for relationship with God, and actually we're never lonely when we're with him. We may be alone in terms of the kinds of relationships that we long for here on the earth, but the reality of being fulfilled as an individual can actually happen. And I think that's what's affirmed in the study, that it can actually happen through a living relationship with the living God. He is real. The universe is personal. And God wants intimate fellowship with each and every one of us by the power of his Holy Spirit redeemed in Jesus Christ.
Now that you know the voice, that's Carmen LeBird. She's bringing the love. I know you love her in the program here at Midday Show. And Carmen will take a break. Lots to get to this morning, including one of the articles I found quite interesting relates to the crazy college courses being offered this fall. It really is a bit of a barometer of what's happening in our culture today. So lots more to come with Carmen LeBird of Connecting Faith next on Faith Radio Mornings. It just got 12 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and we've already heard from and love the voice of Carmen LeBurge as she comes on each Friday morning here on Faith Radio Mornings to just talk about the news from some different angles. We don't always cover the things from Washington, D.C. and the politics. There's lots more going on in our country than what's happening in that neck of the woods. And Carmen, you sent me a really interesting article about, as we're starting the university season here, college season, people going back to school, the 15 maybe craziest class titles that are out there. And it really is representative of where our culture is so often, as what we see in these class titles. Which was maybe your favorite or top two from this list?
Okay, so my top two, I thought I would pick one that would be in our listening area today. So I have one here from the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and that class is The Problem of Whiteness. So I think that in addition to talking about Black Lives Matter, they are going to talk about African culture studies exploring the problem of whiteness and how whiteness is a social construct. So here's the challenge that I think we face when we begin moving down these kinds of conversations. They're talking about loyalty to a color instead of loyalty to Christ. And so I just want I want all of us to be reminded that regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of the nation of our origin, regardless of what's going on genetically with us, here's the reality: we stand on equal footing at creation. Each and every one of us is created in the image of God as a human being. We stand on equal footing at the cross as sinners in need of redemption. And we will, if we are in Christ, stand on equal footing in the kingdom of heaven, where people from every tribe and tongue, God says, he's going to gather them together unto himself as his children. The other one that stands out to me, and there's a long list, and it is kind of fun to read them. But maybe the most disturbing one, Peter, is a course being offered at Swarthmore. And Swarthmore is a very elite East Coast school. And here is the class. It's entitled Queering the Bible. And this course actually describes itself this way. Quote, they are going to use queer and trans readings of biblical texts. And the class will, this is the purpose of the class, will destabilize long-held assumptions about what the Bible and religion says about gender and sexuality by reading the Bible with the methods of queer and trans theoretical approaches. The whole goal of the class is to undermine what believers believe and to undermine the Bible in terms of what it says.
Well, and I remember studying just how to interpret the Bible, Carmen, that you have to be so careful to sort of take off our presuppositions or what we already believe, because we can read what we believe into the text already, and it's not at all what the text is saying, regardless of your point of view. And here's it feels like a classic example of that.
that's exactly what they're doing. So they're saying, hey, this is what we are bringing to the Bible. We're going to arrive at the Bible with a queer and trans theoretical approach, and we are going to use this text, which if you read the entire course outline, they describe as, you know, the product of ancient times or something, a significant text from ancient times. And so they're undermining that it is the Word of God. Let's start with that. And so I guess what I'm thinking, Peter, is what if you are a Christian and you are going to Swarthmore and this is what's being taught? Like my heart goes out to young Christians on college campuses where these kinds of things are being taught, and those students really don't know what to do with all of that. So I want to lift those students up today in prayer.
Yes.
And be encouraging people who live in communities where there are colleges and universities to actually, you know, like sort of be the Christians on the street that are out there and available to college students to become their friends this fall.
I think it's such an important point you make, Carmen. You know, having taught in the classroom the last 15 or so years, I'm always mesmerized by the 18 to 22-year-olds coming in, and they sort of have this almost deer in a headlights look so often because they're leaving their parental home. It's a bit disorienting. They don't really know what to make of themselves in the world. And so to have some of these classes, they're going to be terribly impressionable one way or the other in these classes. I think about some of the other titles that I saw were Impeachment, Removal, and Special Counsel Class at San Diego State. We have Beyonce Feminism, Rihanna Womanism, Popular Music, and Black Feminist Theory class at Harvard. But maybe there was one class, I don't know but for you, Carmen, but I might actually take this one. This was at UC Davis. It was the Free Power Nap class, in which you would get a private instructor, to help you take a power nap, and they gently wake you up in the last 5 minutes of class. So that one I can see could have some merit, Carmen.
I'm going to actually enroll in that class immediately following our conversation this morning.
I love it. It's Carmen LeBurge of Connecting Faith, the host of the Midday program, such a popular program here on the Faith Radio Network. Carmen, when we come back from break, there's other headlines to get to, and I'm curious to get your thoughts about the fact that we can genetically engineer the gender of our children in increasing ways these days and the ethics and morality of that. So more to come with Carmen LeBurge of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and joined on the line by my Friday news conversation partner, Carmen LeBurge of Connecting Faith, and a real popular program that airs in the midday time slots here on Faith Radio Network. And Carmen, sounds like you're talking about the power of prayer this afternoon on Connecting Faith.
We are. Michael Youssef is a really fun guest to have. He and I resonate on so many levels about so many things. He's really popular, and he's written a book that was actually kind of surprising to him. It's a sort of new subject matter area for him. In terms of writing, and so it's a very energetic conversation. It's actually my conversation with him is pre-recorded, but the rest of the show will be live. So I just want to encourage people to join us at noon today.
Do you have any suggestions for people who I get this in my classroom quite often that are maybe praying and they feel like God isn't answering their prayer on some level? What would you suggest?
Yeah, so I probably am one of those people that resists being overly specific. That's not to say that I discourage that. I have just learned in my own life and rhythm of prayer that I am personally better off simply lifting up the concern or the issue to God and asking that His will be done. I know He wants the best for me, and I know that His perspective is so much bigger than my own. And so, you know, that's probably just my own methodology for disappointment avoidance. And so, you know, that's sort of a personal confession there. But I would encourage people to recognize that God actually does have in mind not only our best, but all of the scope of redemptive history. And so, you know, if we think about the context of any particular character in Scripture, who we know because we're reading it with a huge perspective of thousands of years in some cases, we know how their story worked out. But, you know, let's just take Joseph. And I'm thinking here Old Testament Joseph. And, you know, and let's just look at his life story and say to ourselves, oh, gosh, at every minute, I'm sure he felt like, you know, God's man in that scenario. And he felt like everything was just working out perfectly. No, he certainly didn't. And I'm sure that there were nights that, you know, Joseph did not feel like his personal prayers were being answered. And yet God was in that individual preserving for himself a people and a future and a hope. And so that would be my encouragement.
to seek to gain God's eternal perspective on your life, not just the momentary situation that you're in, and then live with the peace that passes all understanding and know the secret of contentment in every situation. And if you're not familiar with those concepts, then, you know, read back through the New Testament to be very clear about who Jesus Christ is and what it means to live as his person in the world today.
And that's beautiful advice from Carmen LeBurge of Connecting Faith. And Carmen, there's other articles to get to that you sent that I thought were, again, fascinating. And one of them is both fascinating and troubling on some levels. I'm not sure I can even sort of parse my way through it. But increasingly so, we're getting headlines that we're able to manipulate the genetic reality of children in the womb on a number of levels, whether it's to try to eliminate a perceived disease or a chromosomal disorder. And that has now led, of course, to manipulating some of the chromosomes to try to pick the gender of the child. Kind of talk us through what's happening here.
So let's begin with, this is a very sensitive topic. Let's start with the reality that people who want to have a baby and find themselves, for one reason or another, unable to, the desire for children is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so the grief of childlessness is real. And so for those who long to have a baby, we want to be very sensitive. And so barrenness in Scripture is identified as a source of great grief and in some cases shame. Now, we certainly do not want to be leading anyone to think that we're here to condemn those who are in actual, like, real grief because of their inability to have children. But it's also important that God actually connects the reality of marriage between a man and a woman, sex, and having babies. That's actually God's design for how this is supposed to work itself out. And so Christians have to be really sensitive on issues of infertility. And we got to talk about whether or not Christians should even be having conversations, let alone engaging in medical technologies like IVF. And so I think that let's just start there. We got to talk about the morality of IVF itself at some level. And so this story that's posted today about fertility clinics across the country actually advertising that you can have a designer baby. I mean, you can pick whether or not you're going to have a girl or a boy. Let me just quickly tell people how that works. Through IVF, if the IVF is successful, then multiple embryos are implanted. And so there would be multiple embryos that the couple could then choose which one of those embryos to have implanted back into the woman. And so that's where the sex selection comes in this article. And that's where the sex selection comes in this whole process. And so here, this would be one of the things that I would just lift up to people. If you were just going to use this article for an IVF conversation today with your friends, the woman in this story, they have the successful creation, I would say, of six embryos. And that's when the doctor asks them if they want to have a girl or a boy. Which one of these do you want to pick? You want to pick an XX embryo? You want to pick an XY embryo? Now, here's Peter, what I want to highlight to Christians who are listening right now. For those of us that have been involved in sort of the larger conversation in the culture, that there is no, you know, there is no male and there is no female. These are all social constructs. Right here in this article, It's really clear. They lay out XX for female, XY for male. There's obviously male and female. There's obviously girl and boy. There's obviously men and women. And they're obviously people when they're even at this stage. So once conceived, we're talking about a human life. Conception to natural death.
And I think that's such an important point you draw, both the pastoral dimension of this, Carmen, people really struggling and wondering about having children moving forward. But we also see sort of this intrinsic male and femaleness. However we understand those things, they are hardwired into the creation story. And Logan's making a great point here in studio that this can have some really dangerous consequences when you consider places like China and many other places in the world where historically they would drive out female and would really value the male child. This could have rippling implications globally.
So, yeah, the preference for boys, I mean, actually China is experiencing what a preference for boys means for them, because they now have an overwhelmingly male population, and come to find out when men get to a certain age, they really would like to have a woman. And so there's a big challenge in China right now related to that. So, yes, this has generational ripple effects. It obviously affects your culture long term. But I think that the morality issue is probably the one that we should settle in on for listeners today. This is the conversation that people can have today about this is a conversation about who is the giver of life. And who is it that knits us together in our mother's womb? Who is it that makes us fearfully and wonderfully? And the answer to each and every one of those questions is that's God. That's God's role. That's God's responsibility. It's God's gift. Yes, medical technology is amazing. And technology is something that God gives us the ability to create. But God then also gives us the morality to control or to choose how to use that technology that as creators we have been able to make.
But I think
so those would be my encouragements to people today.
Yeah, Carmen, I think it's such an important point. I mean, it never really ends well, does it, when we decide to manipulate and take control of the reins on our own in some of these circumstances. Really appreciate your insight and just the wisdom and pastoral presence in this, Carmen, and look forward to the show this afternoon on Connecting Faith.
Thanks, Peter. Have a great day.
Okay, we'll take a break for Lighten Up and Bottom of the Hour News and be joined by Gary Stratton, professor of formation and Christian worldview from Johnson University in the second half of this hour. And we'll be talking about what it means to finish well this long and sometimes arduous but beautiful journey of faith. I just looked over across the way in the studio to see Paul Perreault pointing out the windows. My back is to the windows, Logan's as well, and turn around and see an absolutely staggering and beautiful sunrise happening. It really does remind me of the beauty and the wonder of the fact that the Son of God has risen. And a lovely weather around here in the Midwest. It's 70s and cool. I know we were in bonfire weather with my family last night and the previous couple of nights. And Paul is saying that in Hartford, some of our listeners there know that the weather has finally broken. No longer in the 90s, you'll be enjoying the cool 70s today. So things to celebrate, at least in the comfort of the weather today. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we were joined by Hugh Welchel of the Institute of Faith, Work, and Economics, and he was talking about the sacredness of all of work.
Luther said the work of the milkmaid is just as important to God as the work of the priest. That was resetting the understanding of the importance of work back to the way it was in the early church and really in throughout the Old Testament. And it's interesting that, you know, the Reformers kind of got us back on track, but once again, we've drifted away from that. And it's unfortunate because we really have to understand that everything that you do, right, paid and unpaid is important to God. But it doesn't matter what your vocational calling is. If you're called to wash dishes, you do that to the glory of God, to the best of your ability. If you're called to work, to run a Fortune 500 company, you do that to the glory of God, to the best of your ability. That's an important concept that we cannot lose sight of in the church today.
Love that conversation with Hugh Welchel. He just has a way of describing these issues that is not patronizing, that our work really does matter at the end of the day, even when it so often doesn't feel like it and it so often is a grind. We really can shine the light of the kingdom wherever we go. If you want to catch that entire segment, you can head to myfaithradio.com and search for Hugh Welchel or The Sacredness of Work and listen in to that entire time that we had with Hugh yesterday. Well, up next, I see he's already on the line, is great friend of the program, Dr. Gary Stratton, who's a professor of worldview, spiritual formation, Christian perspective at Johnson University. And we're going to talk about what it means to run this race of faith well next on Faith Radio Mornings.
God made a specific covenant with Israel, one we would do well to remember. This is Jim Garlow. In Genesis 12, God initiates a plan to redeem mankind. He calls to Abraham and says to him, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." According to God himself, those who bless Abraham and the people and nation he founded, the Jews in Israel, will be blessed. But this is a precarious moment in history, and all of world history continues to be affected by how mankind responds to this particular precept established by God, by how individuals and nations treat the Jews and Israel. Get the details at jimgarlow.com.
Oh, I love it. That is the music that Gary Stratton has advocated for his walk-in music. And Gary, remind our listeners again from last week when we had the walk-up music conversation, why this Shut Up and Dance With Me deal? Because it's a great story.
Good morning, Peter. Yeah, well, I was going through my last sabbatical, was going through a time of spiritual direction, and my spiritual director said, boy, your problem is your most authoritative voice in your life is not the voice of God or the Word of God, it's the voice of your own anxiety. Mm. You need to tell it to shut up. And at the same time, I was learning a lot about entering into the paracritic dance, the circle dance of the Trinity and His love for us. And so when I heard that song, Shut Up and Dance, I said, that's my song.
I love it. Well, we certainly love having you on here on Faith Radio Mornings on Friday, just talking about different dimensions of the faith, worldview, spiritual formation kind of perspective. And I know as you and I were texting back and forth yesterday, you brought up the subject of finishing well, especially in light of some of the difficult religious headlines of the day, where maybe we've seen some pastors, some high-profile pastors recently not finishing well, like out of Willow Creek. We see what's happening in the Catholic Church. And boy, this is an arduous journey, isn't it, to faith, Gary, and especially if you're in leadership and power. What are some initial thoughts that you have about this idea of finishing well?
Well, you know, the really troubling thing is how rare it is. Robert Clinton, who's devoted his entire life to studying Christian leaders, both those in Scripture, those historically, and then those who are working today, I think he's up to, he's somewhere between 3,500 and 5,000 leaders that he's studied. And the general percentage is about one-third, actually about 30% actually finish well. At the end of their life, they're in an intimate relationship with the Lord and their close relationship with the people around me, and they're growing in their kingdom influence. And so it's pretty, it's not surprising to see the level of failure rate that we're seeing, but it's really troubling.
So how would you account for some of the failure that's happening? Because it is so pervasive. Is it maybe a wrong view of expectations of what life has to offer? Is it the difficulty that we all experience as we age, that the horizons of life begin to narrow and we become a little skeptical and cynical, or maybe some of the promises of our lives that we thought we were going to have weren't fulfilled? Like, what accounts for all of this, Gary?
Boy, it's a great question. I mean, it's not surprising if you just look at the reasons leaders fail. I mean, we could name them all. It just sounds like, you know, bad movies. I mean, they fail at abusing power, abusing finances, falling into pride, abusing sex, or just plateauing and trying to hold on to the power they've already got and not willing to risk any new relationships, any new ventures for the Lord. But normally I think it comes because of a lack of intentionality. Mm. But Sue and I do a lot of premarital counseling, and we just tell the couples that are saying, you know, no one says their vows at their wedding day and saying, well, I know the odds are 50% that our marriage is going to fail, but that's okay. We'll beat the odds. You know, we try to teach them to make a plan to overcome the predictable barriers they're going to face. And unfortunately, we have become so focused in America, and sadly so focused in the church, on the skills of leadership, and we're so enamored by the success of a leader that often the inner life gets completely neglected.
Yeah, I think that's well said. That's Gary Stratton, professor of worldview and spiritual formation at Johnson University. And Gary, we were noting some of the scriptural texts that might be insightful for us, one coming from Paul in 2 Timothy 4. What can we learn from him when he writes, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near. And then he says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will award to me on that day. Are there things we can learn in looking at the life of Paul relative to just finishing out this entire journey well?
You know, I think part of it is Paul's intentionality. I mean, if you go back through his previous letters before, we think 2 Timothy is the last letter he ever wrote. We think it's shortly before he went to be with the Lord. But in his earliest letters in 1 and 2 Corinthians and Philippians, I mean, he's thinking about we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, which is the athletic judgment seat, to determine whether we won the race or not. And 2 Corinthians says, don't you know that all in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize, run in such a way to get the prize. And Philippians 3 saying, not that I've already got all this, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So, I mean, Paul is very aware his entire life that he's, I think we talked about this last week, I'm living for the line of eternity, not just for the point of my life. And I need to maintain an intimate relationship with you because I want to stand before you and hear that, well done, my good and faithful servant.
And I think that, boy, what a helpful invitation to think about. And you mentioned things like perspective and expectations. And if our expectations are we're going to live this fulfilled American life where we get the job that we want and we get the happiness we are thinking we pursue, we can end up unknowingly get anchored in the wrong set of perspectives as opposed to being anchored in the realities of the kingdom and the invitations there to, as you said, we're just a blip on this line of eternity. We have a very short time here in the history of our lives, and there's much more to come even post this life.
No, and I think there's something about being in a culture like America right now that is so outward focused that makes it even particularly tough on us. We think it's all about the external journey of the success in our life. I had lunch with a pastor here in town last Friday who was talking about a very big businessman in town who had fallen, I got caught doing all sorts of stuff. And he was talking about this relatively early in his career where he had this decision where he had to, to decide whether to make this moral decision or this immoral decision. He said, I just wasn't ready emotionally to make that decision. But he goes, what was I supposed to do? And the pastor just looked back and said, you were supposed to lose your job.
Mm.
And that thought was just completely outside the realm of his possibility that he would actually make a moral decision that would cause him to lose his job. Like that was like anathema to him. But he sat back and realized that I never realized that was a possibility. But of course, that's what I needed to do. I needed to not make the moral compromise. And his whole life had really been was marked by that one bad decision that just became worse and worse and worse in his life.
That's Dr. Gary Stratton. He's the Dean of Spiritual Formation and Christian Worldview at Johnson University and joins the program every Friday morning to talk about just different dimensions of our faith journey. And if you have questions for Gary or thoughts for Gary or for the program, you can certainly call in or text in the studio at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. We'd love to hear from you. And Gary, when we come back from break, you referenced again in our text train back and forth yesterday the parable of the soils and what we can learn from that about the few who do end up finishing this race well. And I'm going to ask you a bit about how can we keep that soil of our lives cultivated and fertile for the kingdom. So much more to come with Gary Stratton here on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and just so happy to be joined on the line by friend of the program, Dr. Gary Stratton, who teaches and is the Dean of Worldview and Spiritual Formation at Johnson University. And Gary, I'm curious, this intersects with your own life. This isn't just theory that we're talking about here, the idea of finishing well. It's part of what I love about what you bring to the program is we're not just talking about ideas. We're really authentically talking about something that I think affects us all. And so just talk us through how this has impacted your own journey in terms of finishing well.
Well, I mean, one of the things that Robert Clinton's has said in his research is that people keep this lifelong perspective, this growing sense of destiny. And to be honest with you, somewhat it was my love for film, love for story, my ministry in Hollywood, and seeing how much great films are not about great plots. They're about great transformation arcs. They're about what's going on internally in the lives of the characters. And that's what's going on in my life, that in the end, it has to be about growing in him. I remember I woke up one day 3 years into ministry and realized I don't know God any better now than I did 3 years ago when I started in ministry. And I just, extrapolated this forward and realized this is how people end up not finishing well as I live this kind of life. And so I just started doing the work of getting up early, learning to drink coffee, learning to get up early. I had to bribe myself with bacon and eggs at a local Bob's Big Boy, I'm going to spend at least an hour alone before the Lord on a daily basis, and I think that's one of the things, other than that, having a wonderful wife, has helped save me from and kept that eternal perspective that I want to live for finishing well.
And that's such a helpful just reminder of this. And I know when we reference the parable of the soils, that there really is sort of the fertile soil of our hearts and our lives that allow things to continue to grow consistent with the kingdom, to have a deep rootedness. And I was sharing with my students yesterday in class, as you're saying too, I've struggled with some of these things and finishing well. And I can remember being a Christian my entire life, but I don't know that I really fell deeply in love with God until my mid-30s. And it was through trials and heartache and tribulation in which love wasn't just an idea. It really was something that came through the brokenness of life. And that's just part of the journey, isn't it, Gary, in terms of developing authentic character relative to these things of finishing well?
Yeah, there's almost no exceptions in Clinton's research or in Scripture. People who finish well, they've gone through really tough stuff. It is what makes us go deep with the Lord. It is what makes us start focusing on the things that really matter around us. It's also what gets us focused on relationships, not just accomplishments. One of the most moving findings of Clinton's research to me that helped me reevaluate my own life is he said that people, leaders who finish well, have always developed, he calls this, a constellation of friends and mentors to help guide them on their leadership journey. And I started looking deeply in what he meant by that. It says, we always think about mentoring being purely an upward or downward thing. You know, I'm being mentored or I'm mentoring someone. But his research says, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more and more your mentoring is lateral. The more and more, there's not one single person that knows all this stuff that's more than you do, that you can just kind of, like an early discipleship relationship, that it's someone, well, you're really good at praying and I'm really good at the Word. Let's hold each other accountable and teach one another what we've learned. Or you're really good at looking at what's going on in the character of your children, and I build a stronger marriage. Let's learn from one another. And it's a tough thing for men. I mean, there's old books written on the friendless American male, which is actually worse among leaders and worse among pastors than among just American males in general. And to work hard to fight, to develop a constellation of people in my life that we're speaking into one another's life and we're speaking at an intimate level, and I can look at my life and say, hey, buddy, I don't think that was a good decision. Or I can come and say, I'm really up against this temptation. Can you pray for me? It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that loneliness can really, really drive us into behaviors and thoughts and ideas that, you know, we get isolated like that and you lose perspective so easily. I think just the humility that's required to recognize that any one of us can only see a part of the deal, and we're subject when we are alone to missing out on so much. Gary, do you have suggestions for people like myself and others that are running pretty busy lives and sometimes frantic lives with their kids and just going from place to place to place? And do you almost have to make some hard decisions to just let go of what seems to be important relative to life and family and kids to develop the kind of relationships that you talk about are required?
Yeah, and that's it's developing a cultivation, an agricultural mindset instead of a production, industrial mindset, that you can't produce good relationships or produce good kids or even produce good churches. It takes an idea of cultivating them. And unfortunately, as much as you don't like this, meaning grows out of a profusion of time. You just can't plan meaningful moments. But if you spend enough time in prayer, meaningful moments with the Lord come. You can't plan a meaningful moment with your son or daughter, but if you spend enough time with them, meaningful moments come. So creating margins in your life, creating places for renewal, to realize that when my schedule is filled with every single thing and every single moment is scheduled, I'm just asking for a problem. Because when I'm tempted with something, when I'm hurting, when I'm lonely, I don't have the margins in my life to draw aside to the Lord or to have that conversation with a good friend. And I think more than anything else, it's declaring war on busyness as it exists in our culture.
Well, and you've referenced in the past on the show just the difference between resume virtues and eulogy virtues. And boy, we're building our resume almost our entire lives. It's got to almost be painful, isn't it, when you start saying, you know what, I'm not going to care about my resume anymore because it drives so much of what we do. I've got to believe if you take that step away from that towards relationship, there's going to be a bit of pain and disorientation in those moments.
There is, and it kind of wars against everything that we think of as what makes us feel valuable and our identity as Americans. I mean, Americans, especially men, but also true for women, ask, hey, who are you? We talk about our job, which is a really bad thing to have as the source of your identity. It's even more tempting when people move up in leadership, whether they're the pastor of a church or the CEO of a company, they're more and more likely to have their entire identity wrapped up in that job and to be able to say, that is not who I am. Who I am is the son of my or daughter of my glorious Heavenly Father, and I'm working in His kingdom field, and that's what He's looking for in my life. So to make those decisions to sometimes to say no to a job, even though it looks like great, it's got great money. I just had an opportunity to do that a short time ago, and I was having lunch with a student yesterday who was saying, how can you make a decision like that? I said, well, I think the Lord really helped me make the decision, but I realized I don't know who I would have become if I'd said, yes, I will do that, because it really didn't fit who I was, even though it had a lot of money, even though it was prestigious, but it was not part of my kingdom calling and would not have allowed any margins in my life whatsoever.
Well, and once we have those margins, Gary, then it does create space to have those kind of meetings and begin to alleviate the loneliness that we feel simply by gathering together. It doesn't always have to be sort of purposeful, like a Christian Bible study, as important as those things are, but simply just opening our homes or going to somebody else's homes and just being together really is a balm for the soul.
Yeah, no, it's sometimes doing things that just don't feel very productive. I mean, you feel like you're wasting time if you're a type A, high-driven person like I am. But to not allow that to happen. So these relationships, these moments, I can't tell you how many times Sue and I are really big on dating our kids and getting time alone. And it's hardly ever on the date that the really deep, meaningful conversation comes.
Mm.
It's 11:30 the next night when you're tired and exhausted, and they come into the room and say, hey, could we talk about, but that incredibly conversation that we needed to stay up at 11:30 until 3 in the morning to have would never have happened without spending that time and energy with that son or daughter.
That's so well said. Gary, thanks for joining us on Fridays like this and just talking us through some of the real rich and meaningful dimensions of the faith. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Peter. God bless you. Bye-bye.
We'll take a break and wrap up the first hour of our show here on Faith Radio Mornings. I love having Gary on the program. There's just sort of this hopeful, encouraging, graceful way to really think about the meaningful things in our faith. I know it convicts me, but in a really good way, just to think about what I'm thinking about and what we pursue each week in the kingdom. I know somebody in my life who said that they really want to squeeze out every last drop of the kingdom before they finish this race on behalf of the kingdom, and we're part of something much bigger. So enjoy that conversation. I hope you did too. Great second hour coming up. We'll start with Adam Holt to do some movie reviews on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.